Amen. Well, the whole world is ready. Are you ready today? Come on, are you ready today? Wonderful. Turn to your neighbor, say, you are so blessed to be sitting beside me today. Come on, just tell them. They could have sat anywhere in the building today, and they chose to sit right there beside you. So I hope you feel that way today. Praise the Lord. Hey, it's such a joy to be at Kingwood Church. Last time I was here was about 5 years ago, and there was a fire, and the fire alarms went off. And even after the fire trucks came, they couldn't get the emergency lights to stop flashing. And how many of you were here that day? Anybody remember that? Yeah, so if you guys could repeat that again today, it makes for a great mission story, you know? We tell stories from other places, but I can tell them, I was in this church in the U.S., and, you know, it just kind of goes from there. But it's a great joy to be with you today. I'm happy Melinda, my wife, is here today. We are grandparents for the third time, and we are so excited. And I have a lot of pictures to show, but if I start showing them, then we'll miss the whole point of today. So after church, we'll be happy to show you pictures. How many of your grandparents? There we go. You know, everything that people say about being a grandparent, it is so true. Everything. I had to apologize to my son, and he said, Dad, what are you apologizing for? I said, well, there's things I feel towards my grandkids that I never felt towards you, you know? And so as a grandparent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, it's just true. Very, very true. Pastor Jay, we love you. We love your family. You've been such a great friend for a long time. And you know, guys, I'm not patronizing Pastor Jay today, but I honor this man. And he's one of the good guys. I told him that this morning. And I'm so thankful for the testimony you've lived, the sacrifices you and your family have made. And the ministry as a pastor is one thing, but man, you've touched a lot of us over the years, and we're grateful for that. We love you. Pastor Clark and Kelly, amen. You can clap today. Pastor Clark, you guys, we grew up in camp together right here, Chilton County, you know, and your family, your dad, mom, just so great to see you. And Pastor Mark Sims this morning. How long has Pastor Mark Sims been here in this church? I mean, since before Ron Cox. No, I'm just kidding. But Pastor Ron, Suzanne, what an incredible legacy to always come back and just see leaders that have lived out their faith in front of you. They've been your pastors. They've served forever just to say we love Jesus. We love where he's called us. We're so grateful for all of you and just your friendship, the way you've poured into our lives as well. We're just excited. You know, today is Missions Sunday at Kingwood. And it's not just something we celebrate once a year. This is the way we live. It's an expression of your heart. It's the way that this church continues to sow farther than you'll ever see into people's lives that you will never meet till you get to heaven. But it's incredible to see the reach of this church, the missions teams. In fact, you have a reputation for having some of the most exceptional missions teams than any church in America. And so when people hear Kingwood has mission team coming, they get excited because they know you're going to work. They know you're going to accomplish some great things. And so we're grateful for that. And today, at the end of the service, there's going to be an opportunity for us to say, as the Lord enables us through our local church, we're going to continue to give monthly, weekly, whatever it is, what God puts in your heart to say, we want to support missions around the world, but we're not just going to sow into things that we don't know where it goes to. We're going to give through our local church. We're going to support now 149, 150 missionaries. That's incredible, everybody. To be able to say we're going to support them, the boots on the ground who help us to accomplish establishing the church and bringing access of the gospel to people who have never heard about Jesus. So I'm so thankful for that. And I can tell you, you're one of the top giving missions churches in all of, not only Alabama, but all of the United States. And you have a great reputation for that. But I tell you what my greatest prayer is today, is that the Lord would not only raise up missions funds and prayers out of this church, but I pray that God would raise up sons and daughters out of this church, that he would call, that he would place his hand upon. I grew up in Mobile, Alabama in a small church, and Melinda grew up in Montgomery, a larger church, but we're sons and daughters out of the local church. We are sons and daughters who grew up in the church. We were part of Sunday school, Royal Rangers, Missionettes, being in services like this, and it was in a moment like this when God called us. And this afternoon, we have an opportunity at lunch to speak with the next gen from this church. And my prayer is that God would call sons and daughters out of that group, but even out of those who are in this building this morning. You say, well, I'm 62 years old. It doesn't matter. Be careful. God may call you today. But if he does, let's have an open heart and say, Lord, I want to serve you. Well, for the next few moments, I do want to share a message with you that I believe is so important. And it really is a simple title, What Really Matters? What Really Matters in Life? There was a man in our church in Vienna by the name of Fossil. And you'll see his picture. Fossil, he came from a sensitive country that I can't really talk about today. But when he came to Austria, he integrated really well. He spoke three languages. He spoke the mother tongue from the country he was from. He spoke English, and he spoke German. He learned the language of the country we lived in. He got a great job, and he was in delivering things, working as a delivery driver. But he was in an automobile accident that really caused a brain bleed, and he went into a coma. After he came out of the coma, Fossil had all kinds of injuries, but one of the greater injuries was he lost his memory, and he lost his language abilities from his mother tongue and from German. The only language he could speak was English. Well, the problem with that was his wife only spoke the mother tongue from where they're from. And so they couldn't even communicate. And we as a church continue to work with them, trying to help them in their marriage, working with their two little girls, caring for them. I remember after weeks and months that he had been recovering and in rehab, he finally came back to the church. And he came in, he was on a crutches. And when he came in that day, we always have prayer time. And he came down to the altar in response to the prayer. And that moment, I just, my heart was broken for him, and I went down and started praying for him and saying, Fossil, I wanna just pray for you. And I began to pray, Lord, thank you for protecting his life. I pray that you'd bring healing to his body. I pray that you'd restore his memory. And immediately he interrupted me and he said, Pastor, please don't pray for me. Pray for my wife who doesn't know Jesus. And I said, Fossil, we'll pray for her, but we need to pray for you. And he's like, no, please. If you're going to pray, focus your prayers on my wife who doesn't know Jesus. How many of you know the older we get, there's things that become more important to us? Maybe there's just things that you took for granted that now you see the gravity of those things and the value of them. And then maybe there's also things that used to be important that really aren't that important anymore. Well, that's exactly what Fossil knew. He knew that it was all about perspective. It was all about what mattered. One of my favorite two verses in the Bible is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul's writing to the Thessalonian church, people that he has loved, he has poured himself into. Many of them he had probably led to the Lord. Halfway through that chapter, he says, we loved you so much that we not only shared our lives with you, the gospel of God with you, but our lives with you as well. And to me, that's a beautiful description of what the church should be like. That we share the gospel, but we share our lives together. And then he gets to the very end of that chapter, verse 19 and 20, and he asks a question as he's writing to them. He says, what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of the Lord Jesus when he comes? And then he answers the question, and he says, it's you. It's you, Thessalonians. You are our glory and our joy. What an important question today. What is it that we will receive when Jesus comes back? What's our hope? What's our joy? What's the crown that we long to receive one day? What really matters when Jesus comes? I think this verse helps us to ask that question, but it also highlights something very important, and that is that Jesus is coming back. How many of you believe today that Jesus is coming back? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm thankful to be a part of a church that believes that. It's more than a song. It's more than a story. In fact, when we were younger growing up, we used to talk more about heaven than we talk about today. We had testimony services and people would talk about, I'm going through this trial, but one day I'm going to be in heaven with Jesus. We would remind ourselves that heaven was just as real as our salvation is. And it's important for us to remember today that we're not just passing through earth and one day we hope we can make it to heaven. No, heaven is our home, friends. As a follower of Jesus, we belong in heaven with him. And we're just passing here. I want to ask you a simple question today. How many of you want to go to heaven? All right. Praise God. It's not a trick question. How many of you want to go to heaven today? Anybody want to go today? Well, not as many hands going up. And the reality is we get so busy in life, we get so busy in the job and the, you know, vacation's coming up and boss season's gonna start and all these plans that we have. And there's nothing wrong with that except to remind ourselves that, you know, Alabaster's a great place to live, but heaven's better than Alabaster, everybody. And so this is not our eternal home. Heaven is our home. Jesus said in John 14, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then he tells us, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, Jesus said these words, I will come back. I love that. Not he's going to send an angel with a broken wing. No, but Jesus himself, who died for us, who rose again, who forgives our sins, who sent us the Holy Spirit, is the same Jesus who's coming back for us. In Acts chapter 1, he was ascending into heaven and the disciples were watching him and an angel appeared and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing to the sky? This same Jesus that you've seen go away will come back for you. I'm so thankful that, friends, it's more than a story, but that Jesus really is coming back. And if he's coming back, then what's our hope? What's our joy? What's our crown that we'll receive when he comes? What really matters? I think we could talk about a lot of things. We could probably make a long list if we went around the room today. But let me just give you a few things that I think that I wrote down that really matter in life. The first is people matter. Come on, say that out loud with me, everybody. People. Now say it one more time like you mean it. People matter. Jesus didn't die for a building. He didn't die for a movement or a political cause. Jesus gave his life for people. So what's the crown, Paul says? What's the joy? What's the hope? And then he answers it. He says, it's you. It's you people, you Thessalonians. You are what matters. Not your bank account, not the size of the home you live in, the car you drive, not your position or titles. No, none of those things. Everything that we do in life, it revolves around eternity because one day Jesus is coming back and it's all about making it to heaven and taking people with us. Here at Kingwood Church, on your website, everything that you do flows out of a love for God and a love for people. You say this, Kingwood Church is a diverse group of people on a journey with Jesus and with each other. And then I love these two words, welcome home. You're part of a family who loves God and loves people. And friends, it's that simple. People matter to God and they should matter to us. There was a young man who came to our church early when the refugee crisis started in 2015, 2016. His name was Jamal. And a lot of people said, be careful, these Muslims are coming into Europe and they're gonna take over and they're gonna have large families and Muslim and Islam's gonna take over the continent of Europe. And I remember there was so much fear in people's hearts. But what we realized was the refugees who were coming from Syria, from Iraq, Afghanistan, Iran, many places in Africa, they were the ones who had fear. And yet, as we began to love on them, 1 John says, perfect love cast out fear. And we began to see that their hearts were open. They wanted to talk about the supernatural. They wanted to talk about heaven. How do you know that you are guaranteed that you're going to heaven? Just great questions. This guy, Jamal, came from one of those countries where he's not able to read the Bible. So when he came to church for the first time, he asked us, is there a Bible that I could read? So we gave him a Bible. He starts reading the Bible. Within a few months, he comes down to the altar one day to pray. And I went down to pray with him. I said, Jamal, what can I pray with you about? He said, Larry, he says, I've been reading the Bible that you gave me. He says, I feel like I'm a 50% follower of Jesus and 50% follower of Islam. And I said, well, Jamal, keep reading that Bible. I pray the God of that Bible will reveal himself to you. Well, he kept reading his Bible. He kept coming to church. And I saw him a few months later. He was on the other side of the altar, but I couldn't reach him that day. But I asked one of our men, go over and pray with him, but be careful because he's 50% follower of Jesus, 50% follower of Islam. Well, after church, that leader came to me and he says, Pastor, hey, that guy Jamal, he's a 75% follower of Jesus, 25% follower of Islam. Well, you can imagine the rest of that story. One day we were having baptism service and Jamal had gone through the class and as we started to baptize him, I said, Jamal, when I first met you, you said you were 50-50. Then I heard you're 75-25. He raised both of his hands and he said, I want everyone to know the fear is gone and I am a 100% follower of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Friends, I tell you that story because God cares about people. He will speak to them through His Word. He will speak to them through creation. He will speak to them through you. If you and I will say, Lord, use us for your glory, because God loves people more than we do. I was recently in Albania, a place where you have taken a missions team before, and I was there in different cities and with our missionaries that you've served with. And one of the stories that they told us was of a woman named Barda who lived in a village, and she had been in a terrible accident, suffered for 8 years. She had broken leg and other injuries, but because of that, she was living in pain. But she gave her heart to Jesus. There was a moment when they were having a time to pray, and there was a word from the Lord that said, someone here who's suffering in tremendous pain. And she responded and said, that's me. And as the missionaries came and they knelt down and they prayed for her, she said immediately the pain went away. Immediately she knew she was healed, just like the woman with the issue of blood. She was so excited. She went, she told her neighbors, she told her friends, she told everybody, this is what Jesus has done for me. Well, that night, 60 of her friends and family came back to her house, and they had another evangelistic type opportunity to share the gospel and to talk not only about a healing Jesus, but a saving Jesus who forgives our sins. And that night, over 20 people that came gave their hearts to Jesus because of the testimony of that one woman in that community and what God had done for her. In fact, the missionary encouraged her, you need to go back and see your doctor. You need to make sure that you know that God has healed you. So she goes back to the doctor and pushes for them to do x-rays again. And you'll see the x-rays actually here on the screen. On the left, you'll see where she had pins in her leg. She had a steel rod in her leg. And in the second x-ray here, the rods are completely gone. All the pins are gone except two pins. I don't know why there's two left, maybe just to remind them. But it was funny because the doctor says, who did this to you? Who did this surgery? Who took away your rods and your pins? And this lady who had just come to know Jesus, she said, Jesus healed me. I have not been back to a doctor. Jesus miraculously healed me. My pain is gone. Hallelujah. And friends, in that community today is a church where there was no church. And I tell you that story again to remind you that Jesus cares about people. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter writes and he says, with friends with the Lord, days like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day, but don't forget God's promise. He's not slow in keeping it. He's patient with you, not willing, here it is, that anyone should perish, but that everyone should come to repentance. Jesus is coming back, but I believe with all my heart the reason that he's not returned yet is because there are people that are living within driving distance of this church who still need him. There are people in Shelby County and Jefferson County and Chilton County and Bibb counties who need to be a part of a local family of believers. And if Jesus came back today, they wouldn't be ready. You know, as a missionary, part of me cries out, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Not all of you are ready to go today, but I'm ready to go today. But as a missionary, my heart cry is, Lord, give us a little more time. Give us a little more time, because I know who I'm praying for. I know who I'm sharing faith with. And my prayer is, Lord, please, people matter to you. Help them to matter to us. Help us to make sure that we realize that you are coming back, and there's an urgency to Mission Sunday. There's an urgency to what we do to make sure that we take the gospel to the ends of the earth. You know, I have some friends who are Spanish speakers. I know there's a few in the house today. And you know, there's something about people who speak Spanish. They just tell us all the time, Spanish is going to be the language of heaven, you know? So you better learn Spanish, everybody, because in heaven we're gonna speak Spanish, or at least that's what my friends tell me. And you know, we joke about things like that, but in the same way, if we say that Spanish is gonna be the language of heaven, what would the language of hell be? Have you ever thought about it? Will it be the 1.2 billion Mandarin speakers who don't know Jesus? Will it be the 362 Arabic speakers, 602 million Hindi speakers, maybe the Bengalis, the Urdus, the Indonesians? I don't know. But all I do know is Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, there is a joy, there is a crown, there is a glory. And it's not what we think that we're just going to put this crown on. It's going to be to look around and see people that have come to heaven because of you and because of the teams that you've sent and the prayers that you've prayed and the missions commitments financially you've made. Friends, that's what's going to matter when Jesus comes. Again, we could have a long list today, but I think we would also have to say the way we live our life, it matters. In this scripture, 2 Peter chapter 3, God's not willing any perish, but all come to repentance. And then it says, if you understand these things, what sort of life, what sort of people ought you to be? What sort of life ought you to live? Friends, how we live matters. Christianity is more than a creed to believe. It's a life that we live. It's more than what we just do on Sunday. God is concerned about how we live more than what we believe. Even the demons believe, and they tremble. But it's not just about believing. It's about living out your faith. And I'm telling you, I've lived in the U.S. I've lived around the world. And there is no greater moment than right now for us to live out our faith. Because people are not just attracted to our buildings. People don't come to Kingwood every Sunday because your coffee's great. They can probably find a better cup of coffee somewhere in town. They come because there's an attraction to the presence of God, to knowing that when you're here together in his name, that miracles happen, that Jesus forgives sins, that lives are changed. That's why people are attracted to the gospel. It's because of the way that we live out our faith. And so if Jesus is not seen in how we live, people don't care what we say. You know, since we've been back in the States a little bit more, Melinda and I, we laugh sometimes when we're watching TV and we see these crazy commercials about all this new medication and this medication can heal you in this way and help you in this way. But then there's always this little disclaimer and they speed it up. They fast forward the words, you know, but side effects could include, right? Have you ever seen those commercials? You know, this is what it could do for you, but it could also cause side effects, could be skin rash, dizziness, headaches, memory loss, blurred vision, you know, on and on, blood clots, hallucinations. And I watch that and I'm like, I think I'm going to keep my high blood pressure. You know, it's like, I don't know that I want to deal with all of that. But I can tell you this today, as a follower of Jesus, there should be side effects. There should be side effects. Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples by the way you love one another, by the way you live out your faith, the way that they see Jesus in you and me. They come because they're attracted to our faith. The church at its best is not what we do in here, it's what we do out there. It's like the song that we sang. It's out there, it's where we go, it's time to take the gospel there. And here's what makes me so excited. If Jesus lives inside of you, how many of you believe that? If he lives inside of us by his Holy Spirit, then wherever we go, Jesus goes. And so wherever you go, to school, to work, to the marketplace, Jesus goes with us. And we can live out our faith. And that's important. Because in our part of the world, most Europeans have never met a born-again believer. No one's ever been prayed for them. There's never been a grandmother or a father, mother praying for them. There's never been a friend invite them to youth group on Wednesday night. Friends, the only way they're going to see Jesus is because we live it out. I was in Serbia recently, and there was a village there where there were crops that were destroyed from a hailstorm. And we've tried to plant a church there, and we were unsuccessful because it was just such persecution. There was just so much resistance against establishing a church. We had the money to rent a building. They wouldn't let us rent a building. We tried to buy, but nobody wanted a church in that community. But after this hailstorm came through, we felt it was an opportunity. And so through Convoy of Hope, we were able to purchase a farm implement that went behind a tractor. And in that entire village, we helped people replant their crops. It was early enough in the season last year that we could do that. And what would have taken somebody over a month to do, we were able to do in a half a day because of having this farm implement. Because of the living out the gospel and showing kindness and showing compassion and being able to bring hope to a community who would have lost their entire income for that entire season. All of a sudden now people are asking, who are you again? And what are you doing here? And our missionaries and the believers that were led to the Lord began to meet in a local, in the home, in a garage of someone's house. And then all of a sudden the church began to grow as they met in a larger facility. And as you see these pictures behind me, you see how the church was established and people worshiping, young people, older people. You'll even see a baptism service where now in that community where there was no church, where no church existed, but because a few small believers lived out their faith, today there is a thriving church in Serbia because of people who said, the way we live out our faith, it matters. It matters. I was in Macedonia 3 weeks ago. Was in a Roma village where 98% of everyone who lived there is Muslim. And you see Roma, Kurdish Turks in the community. You see primarily people from Roma backgrounds who are marginalized, who nobody cares about. But in that building that we were there, I can tell you there's a thriving church, a group of people who said there's been no access. This is in the history of mankind, in the country of Macedonia. Remember the biblical passages of come to Macedonia and help us. In this particular village, there's never been a gospel witness until now. And in that church, not only do they have services on Sunday, but the pastor said, we reach out all throughout the week. We open our church for coffee and for the young people to come in and play games and times for prayer and times for community and fellowship. And he said, all of a sudden people are open to us and they're wanting to know, who are you and why do you believe what you believe? I met a man by the name of Mirto, who had a daughter. You'll see him and his other daughters here, two daughters. But he told me, I said, how did you come to the church? How did you come to Jesus? He said, Larry, he said, years ago, he said, when our first daughter was going to be born, he said, I didn't know anything about God. I didn't know anything about the church. But he said, one day as I was at work, God spoke to me. He said, I didn't know it was God, but I heard a voice that said, you shall name your daughter Emanuela. And he said, I went home and I told my wife, who was expecting, I know what our daughter's name's going to be. And she said to me, I know what our daughter's name's going to be too. Her name is going to be Emanuela. And he said, how did you know that? She said, I heard a voice today that told me, name your daughter Emanuela. Both of them in the same day. He said, immediately I started searching and I had a hunger for spiritual things. And so there was a little church that I went to and I stopped by and I began to talk to the pastor and I began to just ask him questions. And he reached for a Bible that was on a shelf, and when he told him, he said, my daughter's name is Emanuela. He says, well, you know, that's a biblical name. He said, it means God with us. And the guy says, no, I didn't know that. I just know we were supposed to name her that. And so he turned in the passage and he read it to him from the scriptures that Emmanuel, God with us. The man said, can I hold the Bible? And he said, when the pastor gave it to me and I held it, he said, I felt light come into me. I felt revelation of illumination of God, his love for me, and that he really is God with us, that he cares so much about us, that he spoke to me about naming my daughter a name that would remind us that he's a God who cares, a God who loves us, a God who is with us. He said, I asked the pastor, can I take the Bible home? And the pastor said, well, we only have one here, but I'll give you a New Testament. So he took the New Testament home. And in the next 24 hours, he sat in a chair and he read the New Testament from Matthew to Revelation. Within 24 hours, his wife said, aren't you hungry? You haven't stopped from reading. You need to come eat. And he says, no, I'm not hungry. I just need to read this book. He goes back to the pastor the next day and he says, Pastor, I read that part. Is there another part of the Bible that I could read? And here today, this man and his family are serving the Lord in that local church. Why? Because people have lived out their faith. They've lived out their faith. A week ago today, I was in Ukraine, had the opportunity to speak at a church that sat about 150 that was packed with 400 people. Since the war began almost 3 years ago, there's been such devastation, destruction, and many of the believers left the country. But today, because the church that's there continues to live out their faith, the churches are full. They're packed full with people. So you've got believers who've left, and you've got people who are unbelievers who've now come to the church. Because in the moment, we went into communities, and you can see pictures here of just the destruction of the buildings. I mean, no electricity, buildings that are bombed, people's homes destroyed, and yet people who are still living in these buildings that should be condemned, they have no electricity. It's cold there. It was in the single digits when we were there, and yet they're heating a space, a room with firewood and trying to cook whatever they can find. And so we were there with the Pentecostal churches who went out bringing food in bags and ministering to people, spending time to pray with people. I had mothers who lined up asking me to pray for them. And it was the same prayer. Would you pray for my son who was a soldier and now he's been captured as a prisoner of war? He's somewhere in Russia. I don't know where he's at, but would you pray for him that he'll return home safely? One mother brought three of her children to me, 14, 16, and 17 years old. And she said, please pray that this war would end, because if it doesn't end, my children are going to be drafted into the war. And she said, I know that there's a strong chance that they'll never make it home. And yet in all of these communities where, again, there were no churches, not even an Orthodox church, nothing there. The NGOs are gone. But the mayors of those communities said, the people who have never left us are the Pentecostal churches. They have come and not only shared the gospel, but they've met our needs and they've helped us with food and they've loved on us and they've prayed with us. And today in those communities, once again, where there was no church, I can tell you there are churches with hundreds of believers, just like this building that you see. That shows you a new church plant in a place where there was no church. Why? Because people like you and me said, I'm going to live out my faith. Because it matters. It matters. Friends, people matter to God. People matter to God. They should matter to us. It's important for us to remember that one day Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, we're going to all stand before him. And so the last thing I'd share with you today is this. And that is that eternity matters. That eternity matters. In fact, this day today counts for that day when we stand before the Lord. Because one day we'll all stand before him. And on that day, if you're a follower of Jesus, you won't be judged for your sin, but you will be judged by how you've lived your life. You'll be judged, and everything our life represents, it'll pass through the fire. 2 Peter chapter 3 says, friends, don't forget this. This one thing with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. We don't even understand that. But we know that one day we'll step from this life into eternity. And everything in our life will pass through the fire. Everything we've done, every thought we've ever had in our heart or our mind, everything that our life represents. And so I simply ask you today, when you stand before Jesus, what really matters? When you stand before the Lord and everything in your life passes through the fire, what really matters? I can tell you the things that you and I have sowed into for eternity, the people that we've reached, they will be our hope. They will be our joy. They will be the glory, the crown that we will receive. The way that we lived our life. A month ago, my dad went to heaven. And you know, heaven's become so much more real to me in the last few weeks. And people say, are you sad? I am sad, and I miss my dad. I miss calling him. I miss talking to him. But at the same time, I have this overwhelming feeling of gratitude because my dad lived for Jesus. He lived his life for Jesus. And like David said, I can't bring him back, but I can go to him. I can go to him because I can tell you my dad lived for eternity. He shared his faith. And he knew that one day he'd stand before Jesus. I'll be honest with you today. In Assemblies of God World Missions, we take a lot of risk. And we're not afraid of failure. We're going to make some mistakes. But we go to tough places. We establish a church and create access to the gospel in places where the gospel has never penetrated a generation. So we're not afraid of failure, but I can tell you what we are afraid of. We're afraid of success and things that don't really matter. We're afraid of being successful, and yet that success doesn't really matter. You know, Fossil, the guy I told you a story about, he came to my office one day with his wife. By the way, the Lord brought his memory back, brought the languages back. Praise God. That helped his marriage. It helped all of us. But he comes to my office with his wife one day, and he didn't have an appointment, so I'm thinking maybe they were having marriage problems. He said, no, no. He says, Pastor, we're good. Everything's okay. He says, but we're going to take a trip, and I'm just asking you to pray for us. He said, we just found out that my father-in-law is going to die, and he lives in, and he named the sensitive country of where he lives. And he says, he's going to die. The doctor says he only has a few days, maybe a few weeks, but he's going to die. And Pastor, he doesn't know Jesus. And he says, we need to go so that we can pray with him, and I can tell him about Jesus before he dies. And I looked at him and I said, well, Fossil, I hear you. And I said, we'll pray for him and pray for an opportunity. I said, but you can't go. You are a follower of Jesus. You're a Christian. And if you go back to that country, your wife's family, they know you're a Christian. They will meet you at the airport. They will put you in prison. They'll probably kill you. I said, you can't go back. And he began to argue with me and say, Pastor, you don't understand. I have to go back. If something happens to me, I'm ready for heaven. But my father-in-law, if he dies, he's not ready for heaven. So I have to take the risk, whatever it takes. I have to go back to tell him about Jesus. And I kept arguing with him. And I would say, well, Fossil, we know people who know people. We'll find somebody who can go. But you can't go back and tell him about Jesus. And Fossil, he got upset with me. He pulled out an envelope. You remember those offering envelopes we used to use? It says tithes and offerings and missions and other. He pulled that offering envelope out of his Bible and he pointed to the word missions. And he said, Pastor, you say it all the time. All the time you tell us we have to do this. And he pointed to the word missions. And then he said these words. He says, we're all going to die somewhere. So what difference does it make if I die here in Vienna, Austria? Or if I die in, and he named the country where his father-in-law was, or if I die in, and he named the country where he was from. He says, if I die, I'm ready for heaven, but if my father-in-law dies, he'll be lost forever. You know, it kind of sums it all up today, everybody. This is Mission Sunday. But Mission Sunday is more than decorations. It's more than flags. It's more than songs that we sing. It's about the life that we live. Because what is our hope? What is our joy? What is the crown that we will receive when Jesus comes? It's people. It's people that you and I have reached for Jesus. Carl Henry said these words. He says, the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. I pray that because of what you do in the next few moments today and what you continue to do throughout this year ahead, that the gospel we'll get to people in time, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people. I know Pastor Jay's going to come and lead us, but Lord, before he does, I just want to pray that you would speak to us today, that you would help us to be sensitive to your voice. Lord, there's a lot of important things in life, but there's only a few things that really matter for eternity. So God, help us to live our life, to live out our faith so that people would see a reflection of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to dedicate our finances so that, again, we can take the gospel and the urgency to places where there's no access so that people can hear about you before you return. Lord, I pray that even today in this service, if someone, they're not right with you. Friends, our sin separates us from God, and maybe you've never asked Jesus into your heart, maybe you have. But you know that you're not right. You're not ready for heaven today. I want to just pray, Lord, right now that we would respond to you. If you need to respond to Jesus, would you just do that right now as I'm praying? Say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. I turn away from what's wrong and I come to you today. I choose to do what's right. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you died. I believe that you rose again. I want to be ready for heaven. And I ask you to come into my heart today in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, I just believe that there are people in this church. You need to tell somebody sitting next to you, tell one of the leaders, tell somebody as you leave. This church will help you in your spiritual formation. But right now, would you just lift your hands with me, everybody, one more time before Pastor Jay comes and say, Lord, help me to live for what matters. Come on, tell him. Lord, help me to live my life for what matters. I do believe that you're coming back. I do believe, Lord, that there are lost peoples that need to know you. And today, in Jesus' name, I commit through this local church to be a part of living a life that matters. Come on, tell the Lord you love him right now. Just tell him, Lord, I love you today.